Mom.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Extra Features. It's episode 97, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Tony Stark, I'm a cool exec, I'm
Iron Man. I'm Deb, and I don't own a single Black Sabbath t-shirt.
Hulk smash.
Toilet seat.
Intern. Hulk smash intern.
Hulk the intern.
Hulk the intern. And your first job is repairing the toilet seat because there's a man stuck in candy.
No, my first job is smash.
To get smashed.
Dub.
All right.
Being the fangirl in the room.
You're the only fangirl.
Well, because you two are so embittered and jaded.
Well, I think Kevin's way ahead of you.
What movie are we doing?
Avengers!
Yay! We're not doing Ant-Man?
Marvel's the Avengers.
I thought it was Ant-Man. Avengers?
Ant-Man?
Uma Thurman, Ray Fiennes, Mother,
that's
Father.
That's the one with Sean Connery?
Yeah. That's the one we're doing?
No.
What?
I watched the wrong movie.
Actually, I like to think that the Sean Connery, Ray Fiennes, Uma Thurman version of the Avengers was really just the greatest G.I. Joe movie ever made.
Yeah, no. This is why this is called Marvels.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did it say Marvel on my sheet? It says Avengers right here on my sheet.
Directed by Joss Whedon.
Which?
Josh? Not Josh?
J-O-S-S.
Starring Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hiddleston, Gwyneth Paltrow, Cody Smulders, Jeremy Renner, Mark Ruffalo, Samuel L. Jackson, Chris Evans, Stellan Skarsgård, Clark Gregg as Agent Phil Coulson. Paul Bettany is the voice of Jarvis. Was Stan Lee? Yeah, I guess he was. Romain Rosemont.
It's at the end.
Lou Ferrigno is the voice of the Hulk.
Woohoo!
So, did anybody like this movie? I gotta say, I'm not so sure.
I had to go see it three times just to make sure.
Confused?
No. I saw it twice in 3D.
You just had to make sure you didn't miss anything.
All right.
Well, actually, I did miss something the first time. The second time I see it, the first time I saw it, I didn't stay till the very, very, very end credit.
Ooh.
Very, very end credit. Then I hear a story from several people saying, oh, you gotta stay till the very, very, very end credit. I'm going, what? You mean the one where it has the Paramount logo? Yeah, that's the one. And I'm going, okay. So I had to go see it a second time.
Shawarma.
The third time I saw it, there was nothing else on at the theater at that time, so I'm going, okay, Avengers.
We have these things called newspapers, and there's another thing called the internet, and it lists times of movies. This might be new to you, I know.
It was a spur of the moment thing. I'm gonna go see a movie. I can do that now. I'm like, there's other people.
Oh!
Spur of the moment things like Greg Tim Hortons drive through. You're like, I think I'm gonna donut. I think that's more of a spur of the moment thing.
Actually, you know what? I have trouble getting which kind of donut.
Yeah.
See, there are times when I can do spur of the moment things. I can just go see a movie at 7:30 at night. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
The movie like Marvel's The Avengers, which you saw, and you're going to tell us
Marvel's.
I loved it.
There's a part in there, and everybody's seen it by now. Like millions of dollars. There's a part in there, and the theater just went crazy on this. And I had to go. That's actually another reason I had to go see it another time because.
Hulk is sort of smashing Loki, and then he walks away, and now
I'm getting confused because someone says it wasn't writing. I thought I heard stupid God. And
no, it's puny God.
It is puny God. Okay, I'm wrong. Sorry, Dave. But I thought it was awesome.
I was astounded by how much had to go right for this movie to even get made. And the fact that they got so many things right.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is nothing short of miraculous. Is it perfect? No. But the fact that it's as good as it is, and that it exists in the world, I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah. They sort of missed a couple of characters that were there in the early beginning, but hey, that's fine.
I mean, I was amazed that they were able to pack so much into this movie so efficiently. And then, of course, it just was the Robert Downey Jr. show for the rest.
Yes.
Let's not get ourselves.
Actually, I felt that everyone got their adequate screen time in this movie.
Oh, they were very diplomatic about that, but it's just that Robert Downey Jr., like, whenever he came on screen, like, I could feel the audience sort of prick up their ears.
Because
he got a lot of the best lines.
He had some good lines. Everybody was good in it. I thought It was very well done. I thought it was a bit wonky at the start. And you kind of clunky, but the benefit of everyone having seen these other movies is that you don't have to do
a lot of origin story.
Exposition. Yeah, we don't need that. It doesn't need to be explained to us who Iron Man or Captain America or Thor
or why Loki is bad or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so, you know, they're like, these movies are out there. So most people have some, even if they haven't seen them, let's say they haven't seen Thor, they know who Thor is from the images. He's a god with the hammer and whatever. And Captain America fought in World War II. And
was recently defrozen.
Right. Yeah, so... I don't know. I thought very good.
The dialogue was
good. I thought Scarlett was good, and I thought Jeremy Renner actually was surprisingly good.
He was good as fuck, right?
He stood his own, because I'm like, why is there a guy with a bow and arrow on the team of gods? And, you know, he's a tactician.
I liked how he played it really cold and detached.
Yes.
In the final fight sequence.
Yep. That's what he's there. He's got a good eye. So what can you say? That 40-minute fight sequence at the end of the movie was amazing. Some of the best superhero stuff on film. I mean, it's...
I was a little upset that Scarlett didn't get to use her widow's bite, that they just gave her this... Like, she had a little teeny handgun, like, everybody else has got, like, you know, there's, you know, godly hammers and the shield and, you know, and then there's Scarlett Johansson going, pew, pew, pew!
Well, it's funny. When they were getting everything ready, like, when Tony was repairing his Iron Man helmet... She puts on the
little bike thing.
And it goes, and then she never uses it.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of disappointing because it's such a great visual in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she also has a rope like Spider-Man. One of those wrist things allows her to shoot a grappling hook.
Yeah.
It probably just didn't work as an effect.
And, of course, we have to give some love to Agent Coulson.
Yes.
How about Simon? Let Simon give this movie.
You guys are done having your own little soiree. I just don't know. What happened to Colby Smulders? Where does she come from, Kevin? I need a full IMDb on Colby Smulders.
Colby Smulders is in How I Met Your
Mother. I don't want to watch that crap. I need more Colby Smulders in every single movie I see. I am now decided Katherine Heigl needs to move aside.
She was here for the premiere.
But I want more Colby Smulders.
Okay.
She's hot.
And... finally, they finally got the Hulk right.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I'm a huge Hulk fan, which you know.
It's like, after two lousy movies, they finally got the Hulk
right. The last movie was not lousy.
The last movie was, but I thought he played, he got Bruce Banner perfect. Yeah, I've never worried about the Hulk. But I mean, the Hulk's a Hulk. He runs around smashing things. Yeah. He's fine in every movie. Except for that first one, the Zan Lee doing some weird art thing. I've never quite figured out what's going on. I love this movie. My only issue is Samuel Jackson.
Really?
It's not him as an actor. Could he be somebody, like, do you like him as Fury? That's my only issue with him.
I thought he was okay as Fury.
He's okay. That's my issue. He's okay. Chris Evans' legs are too skinny, but that's just me because I go to the gym and I'm like, that's not right. He doesn't work his legs. He works his upper body like most men because that's what men do in the gym. They don't work out their legs.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Evans doesn't because I can see it. But that's only because I go to the gym a lot and I don't see definition. Mm-hmm. And Captain America to me is a full athlete, a full bodybuilder.
Because
I understand the super soldier serum and that, but Captain America still would have to be working out 7 days a week, maybe twice a day. And Captain America, for me, would do his legs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tony Stark is not going to go to the gym. He might a bit, but only for an hour.
Yeah.
Tony Captain America's only exercise is the Scotch bicep curl.
But you know what I mean?
I can see he, you know, he boxes. We've seen that in previous films.
And right, but he's
he
not.
He does do some exercise. But he's not a guy that spends hours in the gym.
Right, and that I can see that. And that's just a minor issue with me. And Jackson, to me...
Well, he was jumping over the cars, like, and running into the fight scenes. You have to have some leg work in there, don't you?
He's a super soldier. I'm saying him personally.
I just didn't like the new Captain America suit. I did not like it. I really liked the outfit that they had him wear in the first movie, like in the first Avenger. I thought it was a more practical looking outfit. And I was just looking at, I just looked at Chris Evans, and I was like, that is not a good look.
But what knocked me over on Chris Evans, I finally believe, because we know I don't like the Captain America movie, which I was just like that.
I don't know why.
It's the perfect
movie. Because I have issues with many things. But I like the scene when he's with the cop, And he takes out the four aliens, five aliens in 2 seconds, goes boom, boom, and he goes, follow this guy, go, that's Captain America. Yes. Sold yep. me right that point that I can buy on this
exactly
Captain America.
What, yeah, Captain
America. At first he says, why should I follow your direction?
And I felt the boom. Same way. I felt exactly the same way with the cop not liking Captain America. Yeah. And no, I don't. But he sold me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit, I was worried about Mark Ruffalo immensely, not being the big Mark Ruffalo. I always felt he's the average guy. He does yeah. the job. He never amazes me. Perfect. I'm like, he got the Banner mannerisms I've been looking for since Bixby. And now I like him better than Bixby.
What I loved about Mark Ruffalo as Dr. Banner was that he had the weariness.
Yes. He got
like,
it
like,
all.
It's just like, I've just been there, done that. You know,
that's the other guy.
And what about,
you know what I mean?
And what
about,
yeah. And what about with Paltrow and her short shorts? That was good. I love Paltrow. I've always been a big Paltrow fan. I think she's so hot.
I know other people who aren't Paltrow fans.
Are you?
Actually,
I like Gwyneth.
Okay. I thought Gwyneth was.
I was surprised by the short shorts.
Yeah, and I like how they got rid of Jane Foster because that made me happy because Portman just bores me half the time.
So did Phil Coulson die in this movie?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
What?
I'm convinced he's coming back.
Yeah,
I did not see a body.
You didn't see a body. He was stabbed right through.
That's what I'm going to.
And
then Fury says, where's Jane Foster? I've got my best man watching her.
Yeah. And that's
so,
what I'm thinking.
Coulson is around, but he dies, but he says, now you have someone
to
revenge.
And I've heard somebody, like, meaning the internet, speculate that Phil Coulson is actually the Vision.
I don't buy that.
See, to me, it sounds like they're going to transfer Paul Bettany.
Yes.
Jarvis into the Vision.
That's what I think. I agree with that.
But
would we get the multicolored Vision or the boring white, all white albino Vision?
No, you'd get the classic Vision with the multicolored.
Do we have any idea Thanos obviously the villain in number two.
Yes, Thanos makes the appearance. Right?
Are they
going to
break?
Are the gauntlets coming?
Well, the Infinity Gauntlet was shown in Thor.
I know that. That's what I'm wondering. Is it coming?
Well, I don't know. They haven't written the script for Avengers 2 yet.
But they had an idea. They must have started writing bits.
I think they just sort of said, who would be a good baddie to throw at the end? And Thanos would be a good one. I mean, who do the Avengers have that are...
Kang?
Count Nefaria, maybe?
Ultron.
But you need Ant-Man.
I agree with you. And the Wasp, which I don't think is a useless character.
Right. So, no, then if Edgar Wright does his Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, which is the next thing.
Do we know when the release date? Have they even done that?
No, yes, he's working on the script then.
Oh, he's finally working on the script. Okay, I hadn't read anything.
But who on earth would they cast as Hank Pym?
I thought it was going to be, what's his face, Simon Pegg.
I don't think that the great casting was, I heard, was Nathan Fillion, but I don't think they'll do that.
I don't want Nathan Fillion.
I think he'd be great.
But who played the Wasp?
You. You're exactly the Wasp.
Carey Mulligan.
Exactly. No, but the Wasp is all the, I don't know, who could play the Wasp? What's Allison Hannigan?
The actress who played Kim Pine in... Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Well, what's your name?
Yes, that's it.
Something like that.
You know, Janet Van Dyne is an heiress, so she's rich. But
she's supposed to be attractive, but I've never thought
she's like a supermodel.
No, she is. They always portray her as a Paris Hilton type.
Yeah, but not. She doesn't look like a Paris Hilton.
I don't think so. And
in the cartoon, she's got... like, kind of short, bobbed hair.
Yeah, I have a real issue with her in the cartoon. Like, I don't think... like, maybe I've never liked the Wasp all these years.
The Wasp has always been a badly written character. Like,
and in the cartoon, she's well written.
Comics reprints from, like, the 60s and the 70s, even the 80s. Like, what the hell is this character?
Well, is it her only ability, laser blast? Like, the Wasp sting? Is that it? And she can shrink.
Yeah.
And she's super strong when she's
But she can't
strong.
Fly when she's tall, so her power all comes... because she fired lasers when she's tall?
No.
So it's only when she shrinks, becomes the Wasp. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
Because the question becomes Ant-Man, Giant-Man, special effects, nightmare.
Well, if I'm going to get rid of Hawkeye, because I don't really feel he needs to be...
They'll keep Hawkeye around, but... he'll be Ant-Man.
Well, who's going to go, though? They can't keep everybody. Hulk?
No, they'll keep Adam. Why not?
It just doesn't get too bad.
Remember, they could just have a cameo. They could just have actors stop in for a day.
I mean,
and do
what
like
about
a cameo?
Submariner?
Oh, God.
No, they're not
going to
use the Submariner. He'll have his own movie first.
And what about Black Panther?
See, I hear he might be the next guy coming in.
Right.
Well, what about the Scarlet Witch? Or
no.
Quicksilver, for that matter?
Do they own that, though? Isn't that a Fox property with X-Men?
Ms. Marvel.
I don't care about Ms. Marvel. I'll see. I like the black one better than I like the white one.
See, the problem with Ms. Marvel, you need Captain Marvel. Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, you need Magneto and the mutants.
Yeah, they can't have that.
You know, it's these characters beget one another. And in order to have Vision, you have to have Ultron.
That's
you
right.
You also need to have Scarlet
and,
Witch
in order
to have Vision.
Ultron, you need to have Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah, but Vision was on...
No, you don't need Scarlet Witch for Vision. That's a love interest.
Vision
but
was...
But it's a story that everybody expects. You see the Vision, where the hell is Scarlet Witch? And
yeah,
vice versa.
You could say that with other characters. In
but
the
you could still have Vision without having Ultron, because
you
Vision
bring
was
in
like in the 60s.
No, but Ultron created the Vision.
Well, wait a sec. Well, they bring in...
Okay,
he
yeah,
took the
right.
brain patterns of Wonder Man and put them into... an adapted synthesoid body, which was
theory,
the human
torch,
but he wasn't. And then he was. And then he wasn't. And then
what?
He was. So it's
and complicated. We did see the human torch very briefly in the first Captain America movie at the World Exposition.
Yes.
Just a glass tube. Just a throwaway detail.
So you could
that was definitely not a throwaway detail. That was geek moment for all
yeah.
of us geeks.
But the fact is that if you didn't know who Professor Horton's android was, you could have sat through that and totally missed that.
The amazing android.
But that's the problem with, not a problem, maybe it's a good thing, but Marvel Comics is 60 years of history now, 70 years of history. That's why we like this stuff. It's for us, people that read all this
stuff. But that thing about the Avengers that I really liked as a movie is that you can be like super comic geeks, and you'll get tons of references. But you don't have to be. Like, it doesn't exclude you if you're not a comics fan. Like, because when we went to see it on opening night, there were a ton of people in that movie theater who I can pretty much guarantee you have never picked up a comic book.
I do have one question. I'm going off topic because Spider-Man's coming up. I want a Sinister Six movie. I used to love those whenever they used to all team up.
The Sinister Six, yes.
It'll never happen.
It'll never happen.
I know, that's going to upset me. And what I would really like is my favorite book, CFF. Kevin knows that for years. That's my favorite comic. And they can't make one. And I don't understand why.
We're talking about rebooting it again.
Well, they need to, because those last two were horrible, awful movies.
What's CFF?
BFF.
Oh, the Fantastic Four, sorry.
Unless I can bring back the Secret Six. I still think the Secret Six, the original Secret Six, not the new one, which I do like, too. It would make a great movie.
Secret Six, the Adventurers?
Yeah.
All mysteries
and stuff. I love that.
Yeah,
series.
They had, like, sharpshooters and things. Yeah.
I love those old 6-7 issues.
You know what? Like, The Losers is like the Secret Six.
They're supposed to be making a loser movie, I read.
They've made The Losers.
Yeah.
We've reviewed it.
It's terrible.
It was horrible.
Chris Evans was in it.
Oh, that's right. See, I had Chris Evans. I knew I didn't like it.
Okay.
All right, so highly recommended.
Yes.
Right? Well, just go see it now. Stop listening to this podcast.
You know, everybody that's listening to this has seen it. It's made $1.5 billion. I mean, it's...
My wife hasn't seen it.
And you know what's astounding, though, is the fact that this movie got made and everybody's surprised by how successful it is. People have been waiting for this movie, I would say, for decades.
A huge geek like Joss Whedon in charge of it.
I'm still waiting for JLA. It could have been really terrible. I agree.
JLA will never happen because, first off, it's DC.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, they're going to make it. They're going to make another Green Lantern movie. They're going to reboot Batman. We got a new Superman coming up. Maybe they'll get a Wonder Woman off the ground, but nobody can get a handle on Wonder Woman.
I'd like to see a Flash movie. I think Flash is Kurt Rogues going.
Flash has possibilities, but...
Come on, an Aquaman movie?
what was that show that had the Aquaman as a movie?
Entourage.
Entourage, yeah.
It made millions. James Cameron made it.
Next movie is Dark Shadows, directed by Tim Burton, starring Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, Helena Bonham Carter, Eva Green, Chloe Moretz, Jackie Earle Haley, Johnny Lee Miller, Alice Cooper, Christopher Lee, and Michael Shannon.
This movie looks phenomenal.
It was.
Like, just the first thing that struck me was just how amazing the movie looks.
Have any of you watched the old Dark Shadows?
No.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I've seen maybe an episode or maybe not.
Somebody actually gave me an episode to watch. I haven't watched it yet, but I was around when it was on, and I wasn't gonna watch it.
I've heard a lot about the show, but I've never seen it.
And then they did a remake of it, which was very much in the same tone.
When did they do this? You were telling me.
It's on Netflix. You can actually watch it. Dark Shadows.
Was it in the 90s?
Oh, it's the movie.
No, it's a TV show. And they cast...
there was a Dark Shadows movie before this. Maybe that's what my friend's thinking of.
Maybe, but it's the same premise, the same characters. But the guy that played...
Barnabas
Collins is the guy that played Spock's father in the new Star Trek movie.
I think of Bruce Greenwood.
Bruce
Greenwood played
Crow's dad.
Nope.
Oh. I'm sorry, Captain Pike. Right.
Yes.
Sarek?
Yeah, he played Sarek.
Oh, look it up. Hold on.
Well, the other thing about this movie is that, you know, the only reason this movie exists is because Tim Burton loves Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
Well, this is not the same animal. This has got all the same superficial features, but this is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gothic comedy. This is not...
But it also makes fun of soap opera conventions. Like, the way... If you see that the actors were instructed to sort of talk in that heightened way that one associates with soap operas.
No, that actually makes sense, because when he's the one girl who asks, "Are you stoned?" They tried to stone me. It did not work.
Yes, but like the actors actually. I mean, if you've ever watched soap operas, ordinary afternoon soap operas.
Soap operas.
Soap operas, but I mean, but the fact is that people who act on soaps, they have a very declaratory way of acting. It's not like you're not going to take. Instead of saying like, "They're not going to succeed in buying this company," but "You will not succeed in taking this company away from this family." Like, everything's over the top, garish. Mm-hmm. Like, it's over the top or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not used to seeing that in movies.
I got a weird question. Dark Shadows 30th anniversary tribute? Shadows in the Dark? I don't know which one you want here, Kevin. You don't remember? Go look it up on Netflix.
But the most memorable person in this movie was Eva Green. Miss Bess Berlin herself.
Oh, I thought they were all memorable, but
you know what?
He was definitely memorable.
Yes.
You guys are
I didn't know it was Eva Green at first. I thought it was Anne Hathaway when I first saw the trailers, and then I realized that.
This one was awful. Eva Green was
what?
Did you guys like this movie?
Yes!
I liked it enough.
I liked it.
It was painful. Far enough away from your average Tim Burton movie that I liked it.
I thought this movie was beyond painful. I didn't laugh once.
Mm-hmm.
I was bored. I was looking at my watch. I'm like, wrap this up. When she puts him in the coffin, takes off her panties and throws them. I'm like, I'm done. That was it for me. Game over.
This reminded me a lot of Beetlejuice, actually.
Exactly.
Yes.
A really bad Beetlejuice sequel. Like, this movie was horrible. I didn't laugh once. Like, the jokes were, the puns were horrible. I've been stoned once. Mm-hmm. And when
you didn't even laugh at Reveal Yourself, Tiny Songstress.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. That was horrible.
I thought it was cute.
It was so badly overacted, like you were saying. I couldn't take it. I'm like, this is bad. Bad, bad, bad. This will be on my top 10 worst movies of the year. I hated this as much.
Not on mine.
It's not on the best either, but it's...
Oh, absolutely hate it. You guys are going on about it.
I've seen a lot worse.
I mean, Chloe Moretz is in it for, 10 minutes? That was a waste of my time.
Yeah, I'm not sure why she was on that movie, to be honest.
I mean, Jack O'Hara's walking around with a shovel trying to beat people in the head half the time.
I expected better of him, too.
And Alice Cooper having a concert and having all the old people from the show showing up?
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole point of that? Ridiculous nonsense. Awful. Do not recommend.
Having the jokes about Alice being the ugliest woman he's ever seen.
Yes. Oh, it was just...
Simon saw the wrong movie. Go see it. Enjoy it.
All right.
Mirror,
three thumbs up and one down.
I give it a non-buy.
Mirror, Mirror, directed by Tarsem Singh, stars Lily Collins, Julia Roberts... Army Hammer. Nathan Lane.
Yeah, he was the Winkle Levi in...
Mayor Winningham. Clubba. Ronald Louis Clark. Danny Woodburn. Sebastian Saraceno in bold underlined. What is that?
I copied it.
Joe Knoffel.
I couldn't
Jordan Francis. Sean Bean is in this.
Yep.
Freeman and Michael Lerner. And I, you know what? I didn't see this.
Lucky for you.
What?
I didn't see it.
I saw the production stills, and that was enough for me.
I saw the movie in its entirety. I saw it twice.
It's another Snow White
movie. Are we at the point where Julia Roberts is now playing the mother of the ingenue?
Yes.
God, I feel old.
We are old now.
You know what, but it's just like, because it's just like, wow, you know.
Actually, stepmother of the ingenue.
I know. Yeah. But I will say that Lily Collins, wow, it's quite shocking how they styled her to look like Audrey Hepburn in this movie.
Really?
Yes.
You gave you that idea, the haircut?
And the giant eyebrows? Yes.
Okay, Bob, go ahead for a trash it.
Well, since I know you're going to trash it anyway, I saw it twice. So
okay, we'll talk about the. Okay, this is like, I don't know.
I love this movie. It was fun. It was enjoyable.
Painful.
It wasn't painful. It was, I don't know, I enjoyed it. Like, I know both of you and Kevin have the same, have different tastes. That's why we're doing this. But, like,
I didn't see it.
Are there any movies where Sean Bean is actually permitted to survive to the end?
No.
No?
No.
Wasn't he in Lord of the Rings?
Wait.
Briefly.
North Country.
Farewell, Son of Gondor.
North Country, he lives
anyway,
in.
He was the only
back
one
to Mirror. Hello. Mirror, back to Mirror.
Everybody else
in Silent Hill. I enjoyed it. I'll read it to the end, and then they put in the Bollywood scene, which I thought was cute.
Let me back this up.
Okay, back it up.
Okay. I'll start at the beginning. The doors are on stilts.
Yes.
Really?
Because they want, okay, they're who's gonna fall for dwarves trying to rob you? Are you gonna go? Because the prince said, like, he laughed at them basically when he found out they were dwarves. He said, "I'm gonna be scared by you," but when they're on stilts, they were a little bit more scary. According
there are
to
two
him.
Reasons why I didn't want to go see this movie. Two words.
Because Bob likes it.
Tarsem Singh.
Yes, I agree.
The man who gave us The Cell?
The Cell?
Yes.
And The Fall?
Sinol.
Whatever that is.
Bob, come on. This looked like I was watching an after-school special. It was, Julia Roberts was fun. I thought her
directed
scenes
by
were...
Guillermo del Toro on crack.
Yes, I thought the Julia Roberts scenes were fine, but the acting was awful. I've not liked Arnie Hammer in one thing I've
Why
seen of it.
Why did they cast Selena Collins? No one seems to think she can act.
Or that you can't act.
I mean, like, do you think that there are, like, thousands of ingenues roaming the streets of Hollywood? Why did she get this part? Like, it's not like I've never seen her in anything else or even really heard of her before. She's Phil Collins' kid. That's as near as I can understand her getting the part.
Okay, Bob, let's go through this movie. The Bollywood scene at the end, when they're all dancing? Like, this movie was so campy. Like, I'm like, I thought this was supposed
Maybe
to be...
Maybe that's what I like about it. I just thought it was fun.
Okay, Lily Collins. Oh, she's done nine movies.
Each a question.
Okay, hold on. I can answer hers. She's the girl in Abduction. She's in Priest. Skunk. Blindside. She plays the daughter.
Oh, there you go. Blindside.
And that's her whole credits.
Like, this is a huge role. And, you know, Kristen Stewart, lover or hater, at least she's got... you know, experience as an actress.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
What do you think? Two words. Love it or hate it?
Hated it.
Love it?
And you hate it?
I hate it.
I expected the opposite. Okay, sorry, go on.
I have issues with Rocky
Where
Horror.
Rocky
We've discussed the last third.
To me, this is like Rocky Horror.
No, this is a bad Rocky Horror. At least Rocky Horror, I enjoy the songs until the end. I hate the end of Rocky Horror. But this one, I just never like it. Except for Julia Roberts. It's the only time I'm like, wow, somebody can act in this film. I don't get the obsession with Hollywood with Arnie Hammer. I don't get it.
But what has Arnie Hammer done?
J. Edgar Hoover was his big thing.
He was the Winklevi twins.
Which he was good, but that was Aaron Sorkin.
And also, the Winklevi were...
I didn't know
they were supporting roles. They weren't.
Yes. So, I don't
All right,
know.
So
thumbs down.
Yes. And thumbs up. No one, yes. And I would probably say no if I were to see it.
Oh, you would hate it.
Three Stooges.
You don't know that.
Okay.
I'll bet you did a wrong.
The Three Stooges, directed by Bobby Farrelly and Peter Farrelly, stars Sean Hayes, Jane Lynch, Will Sasso, Chris Diamantopoulos, Sophia Bergara, Jennifer Hudson, Craig Bierko, Stephen Collins, Larry David, model Kate Upton?
That's
is that her first name?
No, it's just it's another Kate Upton.
Oh, it has Mike the Situation Sorrentino.
And Snooki.
Snooki.
And the cast of it.
And Jenny J-Wow.
J-Wow. I'm not going to put J-Wow.
So, again,
J-Wow,
I did not see this, and I will never see this.
Wow. Would you, okay. The whole premise is they're at the orphanage, and the orphanage needs money.
So is this the Blues Brothers?
Yes. It's pretty much the Blues Brothers premise right off the beginning.
Is there an evil penguin?
No, no evil penguin. And the Three Stooges can't get adopted. Yada, yada, yada. And they have to go try to raise money to save the orphanage. Am I wrong here, Bob?
Nope.
Why does this movie need to exist? I mean, if you love the Three Stooges...
I take it the Farrelly Brothers are Three Stooges.
But that's just it. Like, if you want to see the Three Stooges, like, you can get their movies on DVD and Blu-ray. I mean, you want to see the real deal.
The Three Stooges were Moe, Larry, and Curly. The guys that existed and died.
And Shemp.
Yes.
And Shemp.
And Shemp, or whatever.
But why does this need... But why
they're not franchisable characters. They're not.
It's not like Batman, Superman, and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
The problem with this movie is, let's try it again. They have no chemistry. The three of them are not funny. And I'm not.
The Stooges are not funny in general, but.
They are funny because they work well together. They know how to do the gags. They work well because the gags are constant. They're constantly coming and they're short. They're only 15, 20 minute gags.
Right.
And that's why it works. When you try to do a full, they only have a couple movies. Three Stooges and Hercules. It's not bad, not great, and have a couple other ones.
They need Snow White.
But then there was the TV show back,
those are only 15-minute shorts. Yeah. That's why it works, because there's no storyline to them.
They don't need to worry about character, because it's just them hitting each other.
Right, and that's why it works. The problem with this movie is they
do the premise, they got to serve dinner. Go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it, and they bang each other, they hit the plates, they do all, and then they're done by the end. In this movie, they actually try to have a premise, and the problem is the acting is so bad by these three. They have no chemistry. And
that's why I found it funny. Like, okay, one scene.
You laughed? What scene did you laugh at?
I laughed. Okay, when it may have been stupid, but I laughed when, like, okay, when Mo puts the lobster down Larry's pants, and he goes, and he starts, and he starts singing in the.
Well, they do good impersonation.
It was good. Like, I laughed during that scene. I laughed, well, not as much, but I laughed during when he says, it's an iPhone. He goes, well, let me see that. Hello? I didn't laugh as much at that, but I laughed during
the... Okay, let's ruin this movie so nobody ever has to watch this in their life.
Why does this movie exist?
Can they die again?
No, that would have been a great movie. Yeah. What happens is, they find Mo is so funny, they give him his own reality show. And with all the, he doesn't even know, because he tried out for some show. What did he try out for?
I don't know.
I can't remember. He gets on Jersey Shore somehow. And then they win. That's how they save the orphanage. And Mo doesn't even know it. And they give Mo his own show. And Mo becomes a star.
He doesn't even realize he's funny because he's acting like real serious. He's the only serious one of the three.
Yes. It's just awful.
It was fun. Actually, I found it funny then because they were characters, real people, from the 60s. And they're trying to fit into 2012 because of the iPhone. And they had no idea what an iPhone was.
Because they live in the orphanage their whole life.
Right, but they...
Like, so dumb. Like, who would have kicked them out?
The problem is that...
Yeah, they're adults.
They've been in this orphanage forever.
Are they, like, janitors or something?
Yes, they're the handyman. And not purple water, purple water hits me. And then they have a Three Stooges scene for 10 minutes. I'm like, this one sucks balls. This movie is the number one worst movie right now in my
please
life.
Please move on to Kevin Smith.
There's more new releases.
So the next movie on our list is Haywire.
Oh, God.
Directed by Steven Soderbergh. And it stars Gina Carano, the mixed martial arts star, Michael Fassbender, Ewan McGregor, Bill Paxton, Channing Tatum, Antonio Banderas, and Michael Douglas. It's quite a cast.
Yeah. So why did we not really hear about this movie?
Because it came out in February?
March? Yeah, it sort of slipped. It was out last year.
But I don't remember seeing any commercials or really seeing any posters for it. I mean, like, that sounds like a cast that would deserve a somewhat...
Yeah, but Soderbergh movies don't get a big...
I think Contagion was his big movie last year, and this one kind of slipped in and around it. And you know, he wanted to spotlight this person who's not a star. She's coming in from mixed martial arts. So I'm sure it was probably not sold. It was not something the movie companies really picked up on. It's got a great supporting cast. She's basically like a freelance black ops agent.
Yep.
And she works for Ewan McGregor. And he's hired by Michael Douglas in the U.S. government to do a job, right? So the things go not quite right, but they do succeed. And so everyone goes their own way. And then she finds out that she's been betrayed. She's been sent on another mission. And she's been hung out to dry. So she doesn't know who her friends are and so forth. But Hugh McGregor's security company is basically trying to eliminate her. And I don't want to go too many of the plot details away.
Oh, go nuts! Because this movie was a big snooze. So I hated it.
Would I be correct in guessing that she goes on a roaring rampage of revenge following her betrayal by those she thought she could trust?
I wouldn't say necessarily a roaring rampage of revenge. What did you think of?
I didn't mind it too much. I didn't hate it as much as Simon apparently did, but I...
Nobody hates movies as much as me, because I hate everything.
That's true.
Well, we have examples. And Cindy, can you email me back and say, like, of the last episode, can you remind Simon, out of 13 movies, or 14, how many actually hated? I think it would be 12 out of 13.
You know what, there were parts of this movie that I really enjoyed.
Yes.
When she goes to England, and she meets up with Fassbender to pretend to be his wife, and they're newlyweds, they're trying to get information from a guy who they think is going to defect, but it's really a ruse just to get her there so that they can pin the death of this Chinese journalist on her.
Yeah.
And Fassbender's like, I've never killed a woman before. He's James Bond. Basically, she's been partnered with James Bond, and she has a big fight with him in a hotel room, and they kick the shit out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And she wins. She kills him. And then she realizes that she's been screwed over. And then she goes on the run. And the scene of her on the run in whatever part of the UK it was, I can't remember exactly, it was in the north somewhere. It's fantastic. It's just, you know, what to do, how to hide, you know, how to escape the police, how to escape the security people, the other killers that have been hired. I thought it was fascinating. And even when she goes back to the States, the fight with Channing Tatum, you know, chasing down the police car, I enjoyed this movie. There were parts that were slow, but it wasn't particular. I didn't find it particularly long. It's only, actually it doesn't say how many minutes.
It's an hour and a half.
Someone fell asleep during it, I think.
Long movie.
I thought the fight scenes were good. You could tell she knew how to fight, which I did like to see, because I see a lot of these...
And she could act enough.
Where, like, you know, there's a lot of bad editing.
She didn't need editing. She's a UFC fighter, and I could see her. When she's taking the guy down, I really believe she was taking them down.
Yeah.
And I did like that about the film, that she looked real. I was like, first of all, I'm like, wow, she can take somebody down, because I know she can.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen her fight.
I mean, because that was the one thing that really surprised me with movie Warrior, is how convincing... For example, Tom Hardy was as an MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually looked like somebody.
Tom Hardy looks like a beast going normally.
No, but he actually is one of the few actors that, you know, if he plays a fight scene in a movie, you believe it.
Yep. So, I would give it a hesitant thumbs up. I would say I enjoyed it enough to say that I'd give it a thumbs down. If you like these kinds of action movies, I think it's better than the majority.
So I just didn't think it had enough action for me. I was looking for more action. I think that was my issue with the film mainly. I wanted more. I want more James Bond kind of stuff.
Last word, Bob?
So, Simon gives it a thumbs down. You give it a thumbs up. So that it's, and
I didn't see it. So, I mean, I'm going to withhold... Well,
so I believe the deciding thumbs would be me agreeing with Kevin, because I enjoyed it.
All right, next movie on our list is One for the Money.
One for the Money.
Based on popular novels by Janet Leigh. This was directed by Julianne Robertson and stars
Stephanie Plum comes to the big screen.
Stars Katherine Heigl.
Have you read this book?
Jason O'Mara. Daniel
Sargento.
I read the cast.
Sorry.
John Leguizamo, Sherry Shepherd, and Debbie Reynolds.
Sherry Shepherd.
I've read one or two of those books, but I didn't read this one. But I mean,
Stephanie Plum is an attractive, confident woman whose entire life has taken a sudden turn in the wrong direction. Newly divorced, recently laid off. The only work she can scrape up is a dead-end job at her sleazy cousin's bail bond office. Her first big assignment involves tracking down an ex-flame who's on the lam. And this tough and nails fun lady bounty hunter will be redefining the meaning of Hot Pursuit in the thrill-packed action comedy. Okay, so...
Well,
thrill-packed action comedy.
You like the movie because you actually own it?
I mean,
no, I wanted to see it.
These novels,
okay.
Like the Stephanie Plum books are the very definition of airport reading.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can pick it up, read it in, like, a sitting, and then completely forget about it 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Perfect.
Yes.
You want to forget about it already?
Oh, fuck.
Let's move on.
No,
we get it. Right.
This had a very much a made-for-TV movie quality to it.
Absolutely.
I thought this could have. This actually would have been an okay TV show.
I thought it was an episode of Heart to Heart.
Kind of, yeah.
That's what reminded me of a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is very much in the vein of the Rockford Files.
Yeah,
that's it. Something like that.
Yeah,
no.
So, to be honest, I didn't hate it.
Yay.
Some people do, and the reviews were not great. Katherine Heigl is okay.
It's just that it's not really just...
Jason O'Mara is very good. That guy is talented, and he just needs a something.
Which guy was he in this?
He was the cop, the ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I liked him.
Yeah, he was on Life on Mars, the American version.
Mm.
And he was on the... What was the show that was canceled with the dinosaur... And they went to the alternate.
Terra Nova. Oh, you're right. Yes.
And he was on Terra Nova.
Terra Nova was such a badly scripted show.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he's that good, all he needs is one shot.
He'll get it. I think he's going to get it.
The best actor in the movie is the guy from Rescue Me.
Dennis Leary?
No, he played the Puerto Rican firefighter.
He was good.
He's a former guy that did bounty hunting, but he's trying to get out of it, but he's serving as a consultant. So he doesn't want to actually do any of the work, but he'll come and help her out.
Yes, which
and
is
give
good.
Her advice. So like he'll
he's
pick
like
the
a
lock.
Consultant.
He'll mm-hmm. pick the lock and say, okay, it's all yours. I'm not going in there.
Yeah, I like him.
And he was good.
He doesn't
like,
he help her with the shower when she's stressed in the shower?
Yeah, she calls him up and she's like, I'm handcuffed naked in the shower. He's like, okay, I'll be right over.
Yeah, I like that scene. That was
and
good.
And then he unlocks her and leaves. He's like, not... There's no romantic tension or anything like that.
And she's looking for that the whole time.
Yeah. I read the reviews and I wanted to hate the movie based on the reviews.
I have a question for you. Would Shirley Saran done a better job in this?
No.
Or is it the script?
Well, Stephanie Plum as a character is not, she, like, as written, the character does not look like Stephanie. It does not look like Charlize Theron. Like, you would need somebody who's got feet on the ground as an actor. I mean, like, Charlize Theron is like this otherworldly, gorgeous creature.
But is Katherine Heigl the right person for that?
Katherine Heigl is a TV actor who desperately wants to be a movie star.
And can't be, because she's not good enough.
She's done many movies. She has...
But she's like Jennifer Aniston.
27 Dresses was actually very good.
Like,
yeah, well written.
But you look at Jennifer Aniston,
who
was very similar, a few years older.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jennifer Aniston, she's made a ton of movies, but who will anybody... We always
and
will think of
her
as Rachel. Rachel on Friends.
I don't know. I just think this movie is awfully scripted. But for TV, it'd be perfect. You put that on TV, people would watch it.
Yeah. It was disappointing as a movie.
Yeah.
But I thought it was adequate as what could have been a made-for-TV. Could have been
it's edgeless.
The pilot for a TV show, and it would have actually been... It's enough... there that you could have built a good TV show on it.
Because the characters come back book to book.
Right.
I mean, it's like...
The Demi Reynolds grandmother was awesome.
Yeah, she was good. She was my favorite.
Yeah. She's like picking the guns and talking about the guy's ass.
Yes.
And, you know,
she was funny.
Oh,
I like Demi Reynolds, though. She's always been a good actress.
Yeah.
I know. And she's actually really... She's like Betty White. She's one of those actresses that's gotten more awesome as she's gotten older.
Yeah.
Bob, what do you think?
Love
it. I actually liked it. I guess... I would, because I've seen it. There's the gag reel on it, so I'll be watch. I want to watch that.
I'd buy it just for the box. Sorry.
She came with the box. So I don't have the answer
to
that.
Oh. I still love you, honey.
Oh, you're in trouble, Kev.
Uh-oh.
Wolf, Doghouse. Oh, hey. Is it time to open the vault, or we got one more?
No, we got two more.
Oh,
two more.
God. Harry Potter,
what's
next? Black.
The next movie is... This Means War.
Captain Kirk fights Bane for the
directed by McG. Starring Reese Witherspoon,
okay.
Chris Pine, and Tom Hardy.
McG has been making movies for kind of... I think he's at the stage of his life where he can go back to using a full name.
Access top secret fun with this Beans War, featuring all
top secret fun.
So there's extended.
Is it so top secret
film
that you can't find the fun?
FDR, played by Chris Pine, and Tuck, played by Tom Hardy, are covert CIA operatives and best buddies, though they both fall for charming and sexy Nora, played by Reese Witherspoon. Their friendship is put to the ultimate test as they wage an epic battle for her affection using their surveillance skills and array of high-tech gadgets.
So what, do they torture each other? Like, are they going to, like, whoever survives the waterboarding gets to date Reese Witherspoon?
So they both, Tom Hardy is, he's got a kid and an ex-wife. But he's pining for love and maybe a normal relationship. Chris Pine, on the other hand, is the ultimate ladies' man.
Bachelor.
He's got this
cat. He's Captain Kirk.
His apartment, as you walk in, there's a swimming pool on the roof above his apartment. And his hallway is see-through. So you can see people swimming above him in the pool. Which I thought was kind of neat.
They must be in the very highly paid area of the CIA.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Here I was thinking that a spy was supposed to be
dipping in that pool.
They're like James Bonds working for the CIA. And they botched up a recent mission, so they've been grounded. So they're stuck. They can't go out. Now, meanwhile, Lauren, played by Reese Witherspoon, she can't seem to meet a guy. So she's on... Someone signs her up for a profile on a dating website. Yeah. Well, not a coworker, but a friend or something like that. Maybe even a sister-in-law. I don't remember the relationship.
Oh, friend. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Because, of course, Reese Witherspoon and somebody who looks like her would have so much trouble finding an interesting
I man. Was thinking that. That must be hard for Reese Witherspoon to be
sometimes done. It's, I don't know, sometimes I guess it's hard for people.
Yeah, really.
You're stunningly beautiful.
Kim Kardashian, though. But it's really
she's very focused on work. And not able to.
She
broke up recently with the guy. She keeps running into the guy and his girlfriend.
I know.
And she keeps pretending, like making up fake boyfriends.
I know.
Right? So.
Like that happens in a gigantic city she lives in. Really?
She goes on a date with Hardy. Okay. And they hit it off well.
I thought she went on a date with the other guy first.
No, she went on a date with Hardy
first.
But he asked Pine to come into the area and do surveillance. And he calls him off. When things are going well, and he's been in the video store looking at stuff, and he's been trying to pick up women in the video store. And that's where he meets Reese after their coffee. She has the coffee date. She goes in to get a
movie. Did you watch this last night?
I watched it a couple weeks ago. So, and then they both talk about this great woman that they met, and then they show the picture, they realize it's the same person, and they decide that they're not going to reveal to her that they know each other. But they're going to compete to see who can win her affection.
Because, of course, if there's anything a woman loves, it's being objectified and turned into the prize in a competition she's not even aware is going on.
Right.
Well, then you shouldn't be worried about it. Definitely don't have to
say so that's the movie, is that they're both trying their best to see who can... And as they're doing this, they're getting more competitive. So they're using CIA support teams, they're using... robot plane drones, they're using all sorts of stuff, and things
paintball guns.
Yeah, paintball guns. Like he goes to any, you know, Tom Hardy just goes, he hears that women like take charge of guys, so he goes and basically annihilates everybody in the paintball field. And everybody gets injured, kids and adults and stuff like that. And she's like, you're a little too intense. But what's funny is that as she goes along, she starts to actually fall in love with Chris Pine. Right? So, and then I think I fell asleep at that point.
I woke up
and she made her decision and she was going out with Chris Pine.
That's right.
And he was back with his ex-wife and the kid.
Yes.
And it all worked out for everybody.
It did.
So I would say I didn't hate the movie. I thought it was funny in parts.
What bothers me is that you've got three good actors and a pretty solid, in the premise of a love triangle. It's kind of sad that that's the best we can say that you didn't hate it.
No, what I like about this is that all three of the leads are watchable movie stars.
Absolutely.
Chris Pine has moved up. He is a movie star.
Yep.
Tom Hardy, without a doubt, he is a leading man and watchable in everything he does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Reese Witherspoon is funny.
Yes.
And
I think she needed this movie.
She needed a boost to her career,
If not, the end would have been near, I think.
Yeah.
Well, she's in a tricky time in her career because she started off as a teen actress. And now she's, you know, she's 36 or so.
About what did you think you liked it?
What did I think I liked? Or why did
you, I like it? Doing thumbs up.
Hold on.
Thumbs
up. When you're done, sorry, I was going to say, Kevin. You have a thumbs up. Kevin, do you remember the time we saw Freeway with Kiefer Sutherland?
Oh, yeah.
And I brought, do you remember what I brought to eat that night to the movie theater?
No.
I went to the Greek place and I got two souvlakis covered in tzatziki.
Oh, God.
And I walked in the theater. Kevin's like, what are you eating tonight? Because I always bring something with me.
Yeah.
And Kevin's like, I need one of those now. And Kevin had to eat it beside me. And we watched Freeway.
And that was like one of the worst movies.
That was horrible. But that was the first time I met Reese Witherspoon.
Freeway was...
how many years ago is this?
20?
What's this? The,
I don't know. Like we saw Freeway at Steve Freeman.
The Wolf.
It's Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes, it's Little Red Riding Hood.
With Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland is the Wolf.
I just wanted to remind you, that's the first time we saw Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, she played like a teenage...
I remember seeing her in Man in the Moon.
Yes.
The Man in the Moon?
Ugh.
She was like 15. Like, it's so interesting because...
15, yeah.
No, she was older than that.
But what's interesting, though, is that...
Election is when I remember her being a star.
But she had she was in movies before that, but that was the one that... But it's amazing, though, because for somebody who started out as a teen actress, she's now at the point where she's starting to make a transition.
Well, she was in Cruel Intentions as well.
Yes, she was the young innocent.
Yeah.
To Sarah Michelle Gellar's bad girl.
Mm-hmm. And
and Ryan Phillippe, her first husband.
What was that? Selma? No, was that her name?
Selma Blair?
Selma Blair.
Was in that, yes.
Well, they did the lesbian thing.
That's right. No, you're right.
All
right,
so, Bob, sorry.
So, I can't recommend this movie, since we're going to be wrapping it out.
Bob has to give his review.
Oh, go, Bob. I haven't either, really.
I liked it. Actually, you got it, but I think I'm going to be buying it, because it was really good. I laughed. There was there were scenes I laughed in, and I enjoyed that, so.
Simon slept through it.
Yeah.
I slept through a lot of things.
Well, Simon, finish up the review. What do you think?
It's okay. And I gave it a 4 out of 10. I thought it was, it didn't.
4.
A 4 out of 10. 4. Means it's okay. 4.
It's a placeholder movie for all of their careers.
Exactly.
To keep them in the public eye.
That's it.
And be and it keep me entertaining enough that.
It's a popcorn film. A very light date film.
So.
Right. You gave Furry Vengeance a 10.
I gave it a 6.
No, I did not give Furry Vengeance a 10.
Hotel for Dogs?
Go back, whatever his real name is, can you just go back to using it? McGee just sounds silly.
Yeah. What's next? Oh, Woman in Black?
McGee is Rush Hour, right?
Yeah, that is him, 1, 2,
and
3.
Charlie's Angels.
No, isn't X-Men 3 McGee?
Oh, yeah.
No, I thought that was Brett Ratner.
Oh, you're right, that's Brett Ratner, my other favorite.
The last of our new movies is The Woman in Black, starring Daniel Radcliffe, and that's about it. I think Kieran Hines is in it, Janet McTeer, and Liz White. Directed by James Watkins, it's the return of Hammer as a horror movie.
Hammer
brand.
Studios.
Really? I didn't know it was Hammer Studios.
And it was all shot in the UK. And it's a ghost story.
Mm.
Daniel Radcliffe, his wife has died. And he has a young son. And he has been sent by the law firm that he works for to secure the paperwork for the transition of this deceased woman's estate.
So in other words, it opens a lot like Dracula, where Jonathan Harker is sent to Transylvania.
Very much so. Very much so.
To complete the paperwork for Count Dracula to buy that house in England.
And he keeps seeing his wife on the periphery of his vision, like she'll be reflected in mirrors and things like that. But
a bit like Black Swan.
I can't read that.
That's
nice, yeah.
Okay.
So, and then so he goes there, and the natives are not really welcoming, and they want him to get back on the train and go home.
Because things start happening when he's there. The boy from the marsh, is that what they call him?
No, what happens is that he goes to the house.
And the woman in black shows up.
He sees reflections of the woman in black in the woods and stuff like that.
Everywhere he goes.
And he returns back to the town, and he goes to see the constable.
Yes.
And while he's there, 3 children enter, 2 yes. boys and a girl, and the girl is pale and deathly looking. She's consumed lye by accident.
Yes.
And she dies in his arms.
Yes.
So it seems that whenever someone sees the woman in black, the ghost of the woman dies.
I tell you that.
A child dies.
So she's a harbinger of child death.
Yes.
So, but this has been going on for quite some time. And the, you know, the innkeeper who they stay with had three daughters. And we see at the beginning, they something summons them out the window. They live there in the attic, their room, and they die. So what's going on? Why is Daniel, like, and he's obsessed. He's got to figure out what's going on. So he returns to the house.
So is this horror or like a supernatural mystery? Or
a bit of both.
Yeah, it's a bit of both. Horror, it's a supernatural mystery in a sense, like a ghost story. So he goes to find the paperwork because he figures that somehow if he can figure out why the woman in black keeps returning to haunt the living, he can end the curse.
Correct.
Because his own child is coming and he's arriving on Friday. And
that's right.
If he can't, then his son is at risk for
death. Yes, absolutely.
So that's the pressure, is that... And he teams up with Kieran, is it Hines?
Yes, he's in a billion movies.
Yeah, like he's like one of those middle-aged British characters.
And they work together because he was Dumbledore's brother.
Yes.
In Harry Potter, so yes. They're familiar with each other. So Kieran Hines, his own son died, and his wife is kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, she's nuts.
And, but she's, she, her son returns and speaks to her.
Yes.
So, anyway, I thought it was very moody, very atmospheric. Looked great.
Looked beautiful.
He's good. Daniel Radcliffe is good.
I think he's next one.
Do you think he's a little young to play the part of a widower with a young child?
No, because it's set way back early 19th century, so people got married young back then.
Yeah, I mean, he's like 20, could be 24.
It worked perfectly. I had no issues. I wasn't questioning it. If they did it now, like this present, I'd be questioning it.
Yeah.
But not in that period, because people got married at 16 in that period, 18 in that period.
Yep.
Fair enough. All right.
So that's why it works for me.
Well, and also, too, like, Daniel Radcliffe is one of those people that's going to look really young when he's 45. I mean...
Yeah.
Good for him. Go ahead.
No, but she said, like, some people, it's sort of like, there are some actors that never look young even when they are young.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood's in the world.
Go ahead, Bob. What do you think?
I loved it. Like, I was on my seat, I was on the edge of my seat for a lot of it. I just, like, when she came out at the end, like, near the end, when she came out, and I was like, wow, and I jumped. It spooked me out, so.
Okay.
But I really like this. I really like it.
See, again, I can't give this thumbs up. I didn't like it. I thought it was very moody, like Kevin said.
I
was supposed to be moody.
To a point. And I can tell you the exact moment that I didn't like it.
Okay, go ahead.
When he dies at the end.
The train station?
The ending, I didn't like.
When his wife saves the kid.
He doesn't save the kid.
I thought he saved his son at the end when the train hits him. He dies then?
He dies. He goes to heaven.
Oh, is that what? I didn't understand that scene.
So
I was really confused.
The woman in black, he succeeds. He reunites the woman in black with her son. The mystery is ended.
Yes. I got that.
The curse is lifted. She is just, and then you hear her voice. Never forget, never forget, never forget, never forget. She's obsessed. In death, she's obsessed. Even though she's achieved what she wanted, she will never let it go.
I didn't like this movie.
Apparently, it's a first of, they're going to do a sequel to it.
Really?
First of a trilogy.
Okay, well, I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was dull, but I thought it was
dull.
Beautifully shot. I didn't like it at all. I didn't find it scary.
You and I better go to a movie together.
We did. We went to see Girl with Dragon Tattoo.
Mm.
And we also got...
That's one movie you like. Let's
I love
movies
it.
I like.
We saw Men in Black 3 the other day together.
I'm talking about the theater.
We did see it at a theater.
Yeah, so I'm talking about a movie I like.
Okay,
in
then you pick the next movie we see, big man.
Okay. Because every time we see a movie, every time you see a movie that either of us like, no, well, okay, Woman in Black, you hated it. I'm going, where did you see that? What part did you watch that you hated?
I just don't. Dull.
Dull.
Well, I recommend it. I really do.
So
and I hope that Hammer continues
this
to
this is why
more.
We do the shows. We have differing opinions.
Yes, but still. Dull? That's not. It's not a dull movie.
And we should watch it together.
Yeah.
It's one of those... There were literally times, because I watched this on DVD or Blu-ray earlier this week. This was a movie I had to stop and go away from.
Oh, it was scaring the Jesus out of your time.
There were points where I'm like, I don't know what the heck's going on.
Oh, when the woman shows up at the window, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that's good, but Jesus.
So there's some real jumps.
I jumped in this movie. I just didn't like the overall storyline.
Like print on the window, and he puts his own hand on there, and then the face screens in the reflection.
Oh yeah, there's some jumpy moments. Like, I'm not saying it didn't have parts. I just didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Or when suddenly the vision of the woman leaping off and hanging.
Oh, that was bizarre. It had jumps. I just didn't like it. I'm not a horror fan. You guys know that, so.
So you're an aliens rather than an alien.
Yeah, I try to watch more horror. Even Bob said I'm trying more and more. I watched Devil Inside the other night. I am trying.
Yeah.
Okay, we were going to do Kevin Smith this episode, so I apologize. We're not, because we're running out of time. So we're going to do Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, the extended edition.
Yeah, you don't have to open the ball in German.
You'll never find more hobbits than there are in the extended trilogy.
I still have issues with these. Not with the movies in general. No. I thought I was going to get stuff I didn't get in the movie. I didn't. Like, I didn't get Fiddler Green. I thought he might be here, but he never shows up. And still have a problem. I'll wait till we get to the third one to discuss my next problem. Let's start with Fellowship 3.
The Fellowship, there's a little bit more with the elves. There's some longer sequences. I like the Fellowship, but it's all set up.
I think but I liked it when I had the condensed version. I found the extended version, I didn't care at that point. I'm like, this is way too long.
More isn't necessarily better.
Especially in this film.
I agree with these movies. I see, to be honest, I see it as one whole. So the more, and he could add another 2 hours and I would want it.
Wow.
Everything about these films was so well done. From the acting, to the costuming, to the special effects.
I would have thought growing up that the Lord of the Rings would have been completely unadaptable. Like the fact that Peter Jackson and working with his wife and they got so much right. I mean, it's an interesting to bookend the trilogy with the Avengers because a lot had to go right for the Lord of the Rings.
Same with Lord of the Rings, but I mean. Was the casting? I think the casting was spot on in everything. I have no issues with the casting at all.
What do you think about the reinvention of Arwen as a warrior princess type?
I thought it was good.
I didn't think she was that much of an warrior princess in this. She saves Frodo.
Yes.
But she's not in there fighting much.
No, she's not a lot.
Well, and then Arwen really only appears in the first movie.
When we see her again at the end of the whole thing, it's sort of like, hey, you forgot about her. She's still here.
Yeah.
Great. Now I don't have to worry about my conflicts.
So you're only looking at the movies. So you don't break them up. You go, you just treat it as one complete package. Like, I watched them. We're doing Fellowship. I will discuss Fellowship and break down Fellowship.
Now, if you want, we can do that. The benefit. I mean, one is all set up for two.
Well, that's my issue with one. On the extended, I'm just like, I'm finding this a little... Not hating it. Don't get me wrong. I love this
film. Star Wars 2.
Yes.
But it has an Empire Strikes Back ending.
Yes, but it's so... I've had the first one. I'm just like... Because I never liked Boromir trying to steal the ring from him. That really upset me. Say that the wrong character?
Yeah, Boromir tries to take the ring.
And that always upset... Yeah, poor Sean Bean. I felt bad.
But I think it's the first test. I think everybody is tested by the Fellowship by the ring.
Yes. But what... Okay, Gimme, what does he do in the first one? Like, he takes him underground...
He says, let's go see my dwarf cousins. Yes. We'll go through here. You can't make it over
there. But why does he do that? Because he goes under that. But he's very demanding we should go see my dwarf cousins. He doesn't really give them an option.
No, they don't have any other. They couldn't go over the mountains.
So they had to go through that
way. They chose to go over the mountains than go through Gimli's feet because his cousins and go under the mountains. Because Gandalf was like, I would rather not do that. I don't want to go underground if I can.
I remember him saying that.
So they go to the mountain and it's just... The winds and snows are too much for them. So they return, then they go through the magic enchantment, they go into they fight the water beast, which was added. That's longer in the extended version.
Absolutely it is.
They figure out how to open the door.
They do.
And they go into the mines, and then things get interesting. I mean, there's a lot of great fights with orcs in there.
Some beautiful stuff with orcs.
And then...
The hobbits can't fight at this point, you can tell. And later on, they can.
They learn. Yeah. So they're just running and stabbing, basically, at this point. But the scene with Gandalf and the whatever that thing was.
This is a I always call it a fire demon, but
yeah, it has a name.
The You Shall Not Pass.
Yes.
Yeah, what a great sequence.
That's a beautiful sequence.
It's justifiably famous.
And then all seems lost, and you know we get more time with them getting their acts together with the elves, and they think, well, maybe this will work without Gandalf. And then the first thing they do is Boromir tries to take the ring, the orcs, the super orcs come, and they're shattered.
The Uruk-hai?
The Uruk-hai.
Fighting
Uruk-hai. I thought Christopher Lee was fantastic.
He's amazing, great actor.
The cast the film was perfect as it was, and I think the extra stuff just fleshes out a little bit more. Like
the world?
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes longer versions don't do anything for films.
Just more?
Yeah, it's just more. But for this, I see the other ones as having to have been shortened for theatrical release.
Okay.
And at home, I don't need that. I can see more. Give me as much as you have with this stuff. I'll watch as much of it as you want to show me.
Wow. Okay. Two Towers?
Two Towers.
Well, it's got the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Which is fantastic.
Which is amazing.
And it's longer in this, too, which I like.
Yeah, like, Helm's Deep is the one that is the moment that completely,
mm-hmm.
like, I mean, just the scope of it and the fact that you completely believe in it.
Absolutely. I mean, who's the actor that plays the king there?
Oh, I don't know his name.
But he is amazing. The script writing there. It's
the
just
old king.
The old king.
Who's under the throne.
We've never had another.
The Horse King, yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy.
The Spell of Grima.
I love him. He's just a strong character in this part of the film. I didn't see his film, the second one.
Who, the king?
Yeah.
Really?
It's obviously Frodo's journey the whole time.
Obviously,
that Helm's Deep is the whole movie.
Aragorn. He hasn't quite come into his own yet.
Not till third one.
Yeah, he's still questioning himself. And people are still looking. They know who he is.
Not all the time. They're starting to know who he is.
The king knows who he is. The daughter knows who he is.
The other one?
Yeah. They look to him as, like, aren't you that guy?
Yeah.
You know? Shouldn't
you be that guy?
You know, or don't take away this from me. And in the end, they unite. But, like, people know that he's the rightful king. He should be the king.
But I don't think he wants to be the king.
He's avoiding it. He's struggling with that destiny.
I agree.
He wanted to just be with the elves and live the things out with Arwen.
Okay, this is where I start having... Why do we need the dwarf still? This is when I have an issue with Tolkien. Like, is the dwarf done? Like, he doesn't really do a lot in any of these films.
Legolas are the same, basically. They have the same use.
Right.
They're just there to round out the fellowship, to represent the different races of...
That's it. Is that all they're for?
They're there to be the best. They're the best of what each of those
races are. I have a question, because I don't read a lot of it. Do the elves and dwarves exist before this book? Or did he make them up?
No,
there are references to elves and dwarves in The Hobbit.
Right.
Which I think The Hobbit was published in, I want to say, 1937.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but he's the first, is what I'm asking, I guess.
No, elves were around before. Elves are part of fairy myth.
I know, but the elves with the sense that they have a culture, elves with the sense that they have a culture.
Well, there's elves in the general sense, and then there's elves in the Tolkien.
That's what I'm asking. In the Tolkien sense, it's the first time we actually see Elvish culture. Because, I mean, I remember elves in fairy tales. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm thinking... The way he's written Gimli and written
Legolas.
There's nothing to base it on. He's making this up.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the big issue. Because the elves seem to me have a culture. They show us that culture in the books.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie with the extended scene of Aragorn and Liv Tyler making out, which was way too long.
And the long sequences with the queen of the elves.
Galadriel. Yeah.
But we don't have that with the dwarves. Like, I have no sense of Gimli being her. I don't want him here.
What's interesting is that you're not going to have those questions after we see The Hobbit. Because The Hobbit is all about dwarves.
Okay, so I've never read The Hobbit since I was like 10.
Or
11.
Bilbo and a team of dwarves who are...
See, I forgot all that.
They're going to seek the treasure of the dragon Smaug.
Okay, see, well, maybe that's my issue, that I can't remember The Hobbit because it's been so long since I've read it.
Because The Hobbit comes first chronologically.
I know that. And then there's the Cimmerian or something, which I've never read.
Neither am I.
So, I don't know if they make it out into a movie next, or if they're living that.
They'll do the Hobbit movie.
You know what amazes me is that we've gotten this long to talking about the Lord of the Rings, and we haven't talked about Gollum.
Yeah, Gollum really makes his presence in two.
Well, I thought we were going
to get Gollum there. Is, to me, the singular triumph of these movies, because the first time a CGI character was perfectly integrated into the rest of the movie.
He's really fascinating in two. I mean, we sort of see him tailing them, but we don't. He's not a presence in one.
Yeah, like you're sort of aware of him on the periphery, but you don't see him.
But he's, you know, he's fighting with himself. I mean, he gives in. He becomes basically a good character midway through Two Towers.
It's not until Frodo
betrays him in his mind with Boromir's Faramir, who's leading the whatever city he comes from. The guys from his city find him in the woods. And then they capture Gollum, who's so happy catching fish in the pond, right? And then he feels that he's been
somehow
betrayed by Frodo.
Sort of. Now, I have to say, I don't understand the purpose of Merry and Pippin. Sam, I absolutely understand. Mm-hmm. Sam is like the Robin to Frodo's Batman.
Right. Well, you have to think of them as comic relief and distraction. Because they're hobbits that traveled with Frodo, so people will automatically assume that perhaps they are the hobbit that has the ring. So it's like misdirection. It's like sending them off in different
ways. Gotcha.
But they also come into their own. They're there to represent different types. Like if I were Tolkien, Tolkien's very Catholic. I mean, in his mind, they represented different types of virtue.
Okay.
Right? So all of the members of the Fellowship would represent different types of character. And they all came together at one point as a single unit and then fragmented.
So how does the Great Big Spider work into this theory then?
It's just a cool spider. I mean,
spider's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, the spider's
from three.
Yeah, the spider's in three. She is at the end of the book too. But the spider's there just for Gollum to get his ring.
Yeah.
Because I think he's the only one that knows she exists.
Right.
She's his
trap. I mean,
yeah.
He has to get the ring and he can't take it any other way, so.
And then Gollum, I don't know, like, the movie.
Gollum is a drug addict.
Yeah, but number three is Gollum's story, pretty much. That's when we get to really know
him. Gollum is a great character, too, but three is his
flashback.
Origin.
Yeah, well, it starts with his origin. Which was added for the film, but was not.
Yeah, I kind of remember that being in the book at all. I was like, okay.
Well, I think it could have been like two sentences in the book.
Right. Yeah. No. He said that in Fellowship. He says he was once like you, and he was tainted by the power of the ring
and corrupted.
Yeah.
So that's what all there is to it. But you know, three was awesome. Three was great.
Oh my god, three blows me
and
away.
The stuff that they added to me.
Oh. Was amazing.
The voice of, oh god, what's the villain's?
Sauron?
Sorry, the voice of Sauron. When the actor comes out and he's got the teeth, that wasn't in the theatrical cut. That was all, that entire scene was taken out.
Oh, really? Because I watched it recently. I love the voice.
And then he comes out and he says, I am the voice of Sauron.
Yes.
And he's basically like just putting them all down. And that actor, you would recognize that actor too. He's done a million things.
Yeah, but he's covered in makeup.
Do you remember Mad Max, the second and third Mad Max movies, The Road Warrior and Thunderdome?
Yes.
The guy that had the helicopter?
That's him?
The long, gangly...
I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't know that was him.
Oh, yeah, that was him.
Well, the guy died. Okay. Yeah. No, I love the third movie, but I just love that scene with Aragorn standing and the guy's ships are coming in. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I love the whole ghost scene. That is favorite scene in the movie every time I watch it.
That's
Gimli tells Legolas.
It makes more sense.
It makes perfect sense, finally. Yes.
Because
Gimli hits the bow and he goes, make sure your aim's accurate. He hits the bow and drills the guy in the boat.
Well, yeah. I will say is this, though, that there are so many memorable moments in the third movie.
Oh, love
it. The scene where Eowyn faces down the Witch King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And says, you know, no man can kill me, and then she pulls off her helmet and says, I am not a man, or I am no man. And just gets him.
Mm-hmm. I just love
Have
that.
Have you seen the extended cut?
Not of the third movie.
Oh, 4 hours. I just finished it yesterday. 4 hours and 20 minutes. Done.
Glory?
Oh, my God. I was drooling. I'm like, this is awesome.
The only problem with that movie is the same problem with the theatrical cut is that the endings are endless.
Yeah, that's true of the book. I mean, there's like three or four different endings.
And that's the problem I have in the third movie, that I want with Wormtongue and Sauron get kicked out of the Hobbit Village is not the movie. That just upsets me.
You know, the whole fate of Sauron.
Yeah.
Or not, yeah,
the don't, Sauron, we don't know what happens.
Saruman.
The
Christopher Lee character.
We don't know what happens.
At the end of the Two Towers, the trees defeat him, basically. Yeah. And what happens? He's stuck in a tower. But now we get the whole fate of what happens to him. Why did the eye drop it? I mean, the eye dropping was part of it, but you see more of what happens to him.
I know, and I wanted that.
Part of me wishes that the movie had ended at the scene. Well, there's that wonderful scene where they've thrown, you know, like the ring has been destroyed, and it's just Sam and Frodo basically like on the precipice above the lava pit, and Sam makes that incredible speech about here we are together at the end of all things.
And Frodo
couldn't end the movie there.
You couldn't end the movie there.
You know, when they save?
No.
We had to see Aragorn become king.
You had to.
That makes sense. And then even then, you had to see the hobbits back at the village, and that Sam now has the courage to ask out the
Rosie
and so forth. That makes sense to me.
I wonder about why does Frodo need to go with the elves, though? I never understood that.
Well, the passing of the elves, I think it's meant like to signify that this age of Middle-earth is ending.
Yeah, but where's Frodo going?
Frodo is dying, essentially.
He is. That's what I was wondering.
They're taking him to like the elvish fairyland, I guess.
Well, what's happened is that Frodo has been tainted by the ring.
That's what I thought.
And poisoned by...
Like Bilbo. You know how Bilbo is restless at the first book?
Yes.
He's like that. He can't... He's seen too much. He's world-weary.
That's what I took it as. Okay, so I'm right.
But life in the Shire is even more tedious to someone who's world-weary.
That's what I thought. But how can Sam do it then?
Sam was never corrupted. Even though he took the ring very briefly, he was never tainted or corrupted by it or tempted to take it.
And Merry and Pippin would have taken it. I think Merry would have, for sure.
No, I think they're all. I mean, we've seen even with the eye.
Yeah, the eye was cool when he's picking up the eye and shaking.
But Sam is different.
Yes.
And Sam loves his friend. And, you know, he just wants, he's a simple guy. He wants to just set up a house and have children and all that stuff. He doesn't crave adventure.
The last scene of the movie is beautiful, like where you just see, you know, Sam hugging his wife and baby.
Yes.
And then he just goes to the house and closes the door.
And that's
perfect.
I like the end there. But
the end of the book, the last line of the book is literally Sam has come back from seeing off Frodo and the elves. And he comes back and he describes his beautiful home. And, you know, there's the fire in the fireplace. And, you know, he lights his pipe and his wife comes in and, you know, his kids are on his knee and he says, I'm back.
Yeah.
And the idea is that it's done.
And off topic, can we go visit these sets? They must exist.
They still exist in New Zealand. You have a lot of them.
Do they have tours?
Yeah, you can actually go on.
That's what I was wondering.
Well, I know there's a whole government ministry for the Lord of the Rings during, like, however many years they were filming it.
You can go on Lord of the Rings tours where they'll take you to various locations.
That's what I thought.
He did shoot in a lot of remote areas that would be very difficult to get to other than by helicopter.
Okay.
But the village and stuff like that, those sets exist and you can go.
Okay, so I have something to do in New Zealand?
I don't think so, actually. Rivendell, I think, is because it was shot a lot with green screens. I think
Rivendell looks like a set to me most times I see it.
But it was probably something that they kept on the sites of... What's the studio called?
Wingnut Studios?
Yes.
Weta is the...
Weta Creature Workshop.
Okay, back. Does the boat exist? Because I'm watching that green screen and watching the boat move.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like real water to them. Like, it can't be real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the Lord of the Rings, the first great CGI movie was Jurassic Park.
Absolutely.
Lord of the Rings represents the next step.
You can't tell me that T-Rex does not exist in Jurassic Park. I mean, I know it's fake.
It does exist.
But
They built a giant robot TV.
They did.
Yes.
I did not know that. I was like, that was CGI. I'm like, that's
the scene with the trucks when it's breathing in the wind, that's all a model. That's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Animatronic?
Yeah.
Well, Jurassic Park.
But I mean, but, yeah, like Jurassic Park was one of the first movies where you just totally.
But the Velociraptors even then were all CGI.
Oh, okay.
And then the Lord of the Rings was the next step up because it's CGI done right.
Is there anything else?
Elephants.
The elephants are amazing. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I tweeted because that's like, you guys know
I did. How about John Noble? We didn't even talk about him. The Mad King.
Oh, I love him.
Faramir and Boromir.
He's going to burn Boromir at the end. He was great too. Faramir.
He's he thinks he's dead.
I know, and he's not.
And he's going to burn them alive.
And he gets himself burned alive in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that king's crazy. I don't know, there's just so much to talk about this.
And he went on to be the star of Fringe.
I've never seen Fringe.
You've never seen Fringe?
I have not seen Fringe. I've been too busy watching movies like
Fringe. Fringe is too vile for
me. I'm going to watch Fringe now, just in my...
No. I mean, I just don't like medical horror. Like, that's just me. Like, it's like one of those things that either you love it or you
don't. So, Mad Men.
Yes, okay. We promised some Mad Men discussion.
Did you watch the episode?
I did, and I got an offensive person in this room that's got a problem with me that posted something on their Facebook, and I couldn't read it because I hadn't watched the episode yet. They made me go watch the episode before I read their posting.
So, no, that's all right.
Well, now I've seen the episode, Dev, after your posting. I went, oh, can't read anymore. As soon as I saw Mad Men, I did not read your post. Because you had it on the next day. And I was like, isn't there a 24-hour moratorium on this stuff?
No, you didn't give away every major plot.
But I didn't read it. I won't read it.
An amazing episode.
I said, I was just basically like, holy shit, this was weird. Like,
I know, but I couldn't read any more than this week on Mad Men.
I didn't say anything. I didn't spoil anything. I just said I think I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Look, I stopped reading. That's as far as I read. And I'm like, can't read anymore.
But did you, when you saw the episode, did you not agree? That was stunning.
I threw up. I don't like Pete Campbell normally. And
everybody hates Pete Campbell.
He's just an ass wipe of the most supreme guy.
And he reminds me of Chris Friesen. That's exactly what Dixon and Friesen remind me of.
But I mean, like, there were scenes, like, Kevin will tell you, there were scenes in that episode where we were both, like, went, Jesus Christ, no. Like, we were actually yelling at the screen.
I knew that it had happened. When the first time Dawn Draper goes to see her at the apartment,
and she's in her dressing gown.
It's already happened. And then she comes out and it's, oh, you're the good one, and so forth. And then they go back and show it again.
That screwed me up. I'm like, my episode?
It's a magic time jump.
It took a weird jump, and I'm like, okay.
He had to think it didn't happen in order for him to do what he had to do.
Yes, I agree.
He had to believe that he had saved her.
But she had to do it to keep her kid going. Like, that was all.
It was an awful position to put anybody in.
But Campbell would do it.
I can't believe that Roger didn't step in.
Roger's done with her. That's already been proven. Mm-hmm. Roger stated that early on. When she stopped taking his checks, Roger said, I'm done. And I think he did that two episodes ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Roger's done.
But they never really went out to say that it was his child until a couple episodes back, and they said, my child.
Yeah. I don't know. We still haven't said yes, it is.
Well, he said that's my son.
He thinks so, but she's
and that's why the husband isn't. That's why he went to Vietnam.
Yeah.
I thought he went to Vietnam because he sucked.
And she thinks that's why, but I think he thinks that it's not his child.
Maybe.
I think he
thinks. Dr. Harris has his suspicions?
Yes.
I think he suspects that's not. That something's not kosher.
I don't know.
But on the other hand, though, I mean, I can't say I have a terrible lot of sympathy for that raping bastard, Dr. Harris.
Raping?
Yeah, he raped her. He raped Joan.
I don't remember that.
I don't know.
On the office floor?
I don't remember either.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, man.
Is that last season?
The guy that she married?
Yes.
I don't remember at all.
They don't show these things on.
They imply it, but yeah, like, point being, though, is that, like, Joan has not had very good luck with men.
Mm. But I think Joan makes those decisions her own. Mm. Joan makes those decisions. She makes bad choices. Okay, this is not the Mad Men thing. This is just us going off topic on Mad Men.
So,
Peggy, that shocked me. I did not see that coming.
Direct parallels to the first episode. yeah. through it.
Yeah, you're right.
I went and watched the first episode again, and I'm like, holy shit, this is like the exact mirror opposite.
Yes, exactly. You're right.
Well, that's the one great thing when you have somebody who is the obvious showrunner. Like, Mad Men is Matthew Weiner all the way.
Oh, yeah, down to a T.
Mm-hmm. And what's nice is that you're able, when you have, like, such a clear writing voice, you're allowed, like, stuff like that can happen. That stuff cannot happen in shows that are written by committee.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Inder.
And I'm Deb.
Thanks for joining another episode of Extra Features.
And make sure you see Lord of the Rings. If you have listened to this episode, we apologize. There's so much stuff we didn't even touch on. Please go and buy them.
Well, Avengers,
you have seen
the Avengers. It's still in the theaters.
You've already seen it anyway. We know you have.
I've seen it 3 times.
But one last word about Lord of the Rings. Having seen Game of Thrones adapted for HBO, I wonder if Lord of the Rings would have been suited to a long form,
Me and Kevin have 100% disagreement on Game of Thrones. I couldn't make it through the first episode. I was so bored.
I didn't like the first episode, but I liked the season.
You can tell me to watch it. I told you when I catch up on Anarchy. Now we're going behind the curtain what I watch besides
Peter
movies.
Dinklage is awesomeness. That's won me over on the show.
I love Peter Dinklage. I used to get made fun of him. I thought he was a decent actor.
He was awesome.
Crazy.
I loved him in The Station Agent all the way on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Don't get me started on how boring The Station Agent is.
I love Peter.
Okay, and if they make it,
we'll watch it.
Because Simon makes his horse fun.
Hi.
Try night.
Oh.